This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Good morning, I'm Macca. It's Saturday the 20th of July. Tass continues his sabbatical. My co-host this morning is Lisa Dano-Daniel, who's also the host of Word for Word. Paul is on panel, Fiona producing and tweeting. Saturday Magazine starts now.
From Joy 94.9, this is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine is Joy 94.9's longest running news and current affairs show. It's coming to you live right here from Melbourne, the world's most livable city, on the world's best LGBTI radio station. You can listen to us on radio, by streaming, and of course via podcast. We bring you an ever-changing mix of local and national news, current affairs and commentary, all framed within a queer perspective. In today's show, we've got a very large range of guests. We're going to discuss some topics which are current and hopefully of interest to you. Firstly, good morning, Dano. How are you?
Morning, Macca. How are you?
I'm very well on this lovely, fresh, clear
it's
Melbourne
a stunning
morning.
Stunning morning. Glad that we've got the roof open here at Joy
I know,
Central.
Yes, in Joy Arena. So our first guest this morning hasn't actually been on the show for a while, but welcoming back Tim Wilson, MP. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Macca. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And Lisa Daniels here is my co-host today.
Morning, Tim. How are you?
Hello.
We've met before, but we've met through a different avenue. And I'm going to start with some very hard-hitting questions. How are your pugs going?
They're good. Louie and Ella are very happy.
Excellent. Haven't seen you at Pugwood for a while. You have to get down.
No. I will. We do get there from time to time, but it requires me to be free on a Sunday morning.
Well, we know you're a hard-hitting and very hard-working man, so.
There you go. Thank you. But, yeah, Louie and Ella are well, and, you know, they do what pugs do, snort and fart and eat too much.
That's right, yes.
Well, I can only compete with that with an adopted greyhound, Tim.
Oh, right, okay.
They don't eat much. Actually, they don't do much at all. They just sleep. Anyway.
Yes.
So, Tim, the big issue that we wanted to talk to you about initially was religious freedoms. And I know that, you know, you're an absolute believer in free speech and freedom of expression. And, look, I'm wondering, Tim, what is your view? Why do we require religious freedoms legislation? And if so, what is the threat to religious freedom?
Look, we're not actually seeking to introduce religious freedoms legislation. There's currently a Race and Age, a Disability Discrimination Act. There isn't one that covers people on the basis of their faith. It's been proposed before, it's been considered by Labor, and it's a difficult piece of legislation, but the focus is making sure that people aren't discriminated against simply because they have a religious faith.
So how do you balance this, Tim, with, you know, if someone's religious belief, and we're not going, you know, to sports players or anything like that, but if your religious belief is that, you know, folk like us, you know, are not to be, you know, that we're, I'm just trying to think of the words, Lisa, what would you...
Well, if we're talking about discrimination,
some religious faith don't think that homosexuality should be accommodated in their activities. You mean like that?
Yeah. So
that isn't dealt with by the Religious Discrimination Act. That's actually dealt with currently under the Sex Discrimination Act.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are getting themselves concerned about what might be covered in this legislation. When I can say pretty comprehensively, the focus will be on stopping people being discriminated against on the basis of their faith. It's not a religious freedom bill. It's a religious anti-discrimination act.
So, Tim, could you give us an example of how that would happen? So if we didn't have this discrimination bill coming in, what sort of example could you give me about how someone who has a religious belief could be discriminated against?
So in the New South Wales State Parliament, a Muslim man tried to stop a Jewish community leader walking into a room and participating in an event. We have, under federal law at the moment, it's entirely lawful to discriminate against somebody from renting a property on the basis of their faith.
Okay. So where I'm concerned, Tim, with this, and, you know, with there isn't, you say, existing anti-discrimination coverage for a person's faith.
Yep.
Both you and I are, I think it's fair to say, we're not on the faith bus. But, you know, for us, that the reality is, as a community, we seem to be, and correct me if I'm wrong, or reset this, that our community seems to be a bit in the crosshairs on this issue.
This is the thing. It's not, and that's, this is a bill that says people shouldn't be discriminated against on the basis of their faith. Now, just for clarity, religion includes people of religion and not having a religion. So yeah, it covers everybody, including your right not to have a religious faith. So the issues you're raising and have been raising so far are all covered by the Sex Discrimination Act in current law. Now, there are some issues around that which we've dealt with later in this parliament around schools and everything else, but we've sent that off to the Australian Law Reform Commission to consider and review how to design aspects of law to remove things like the right of religious schools to discriminate against gay kids and LGBTI kids, but to look at then how you balance some of the other tensions in law, and we'll consider that, I suspect, probably next year.
Tim, there's a lot of the community and a lot of sort of general community talking about free speech and how that relates to the issue. Are we getting confused along the way about what is free speech and what is religious discrimination?
I think people are getting confused about lots of different aspects of legislation, because sitting behind the dots and the commas and the crossing of the T's is a lot of emotion, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain from the past. And also people being concerned about what people are saying in the public square. The big issue at the moment, as you'll know, is about Israel Folau. There's a tension there about whether, I mean, I think what he said, frankly, is a complete non-event. Since I don't even believe in hell, I don't see why I'd even be remotely fazed that somebody thinks I'm going there. But I don't think that he also should have paid with his career for what he said. And I think that's a tension issue that we need to address and resolve, the difference between discrimination and simply people exercising an unpopular opinion. They're different things.
So do you think then that that your government at the moment is failing to get the message across as to what this is, simply straightforwardly?
I think so. We've said quite clearly it's an anti-discrimination legislation and consistent with other anti-discrimination laws. And everybody's throwing 100 different issues in at the same time, and we keep saying it, but I think there's a lot of fear and concern about, you know, the past and how some of the legislation's been drafted across the parliament on these issues. And, I mean, I've been participants in the government's consultations on this legislation, and I can't say what's happened inside them, but I can say that, you know, it's utterly consistent with what I'm telling you today.
This is going to be a pretty difficult piece of legislation to draft, isn't it, Tim? And, you know, so legislation always, almost without exception, ends up with unintended consequences. What sort of consultation is being undertaken? Okay, you know, you've been spoken to, and I assume that a lot of your colleagues have, Labor and other members of the House of Reps and the Senate. In terms of consultation outside the parliament, how wide is that going?
Basically the process is to have consultation with MPs within the government, and then, of course, I'll have them with people in Labor as well. But I fully expect that there'll be external consultation with people of faith and other affected community groups, and that will include human rights bodies and everything else before anything is put to the parliament, because we're very mindful and aware of the sensitivity of these issues and very mindful and aware of the importance of getting it right.
Do you think it's a question, but it's not entirely serious. Perhaps we should have a postal ballot on it.
No.
Well, everyone else got to vote on our relationships and who we are.
Yeah, you can.
Surely we could. extend that argument that we should make a decision whether there should be legislation on this.
You're confusing the issues. We didn't vote on the Sex Discrimination Act and didn't have a postal survey. Now, it was quite clear to everybody that I wasn't a fan of the postal survey.
Yeah.
I wasn't enthusiastic, but it was necessary in the constraints that were provided because the people had voted for a government that said that they would do it, and we got a spectacular outcome. So the focus now, and it means it's very clear, is it is a law designed to stop people being discriminated against on the basis of their faith, in the same way that in many cases LGBTI Australians and everybody else already enjoys protection, but people of faith don't.
Do you think it's do you feel confident enough, Tim, you know, to say that our community, on the basis of the discussions you've had so far and your understanding of what's proposed, do you feel confident enough to say to our community that we have nothing to fear from this?
I'm very confident that the legislation, as I've seen so far, and it's what's been so far, let's wait and see where it ends up, and we're all seeking to be constructive players in it, is that it is legislation that is appropriately designed to fit the objective and the purpose, which is to stop people being discriminated on the basis of faith. Do I think it's going to deliver everything people of faith want? No. Will there be people who will ask questions about how it might impact LGBTI Australians? Of course they should. And part of the process of the consultation is to kick all these issues around and to get to a clarity so that hopefully everybody walks out and says it's the right piece of legislation to deal with the issues. And so I do believe that LGBTI Australians should have a high degree of trust that the issues they're concerned about will be addressed, that the issues, a lot of the issues that you've been talking about at the start of this interview, aren't actually subject to this legislation, and that they'll also have input into it as required.
Can we change tack a little bit, Tim? I'd like to chat to you about Dick. And I mean, sorry, Macca, I knew you'd jump in there. I mean, Dick Smith. Dick Smith has been in the media a little bit this week in terms of his $500,000 franking credits bonus.
Refund.
His refund, yes.
No, it's not a bonus, it's a refund, and this is the critical point.
Yes, and I was hoping you'd clarify that for me.
Well, no, he got $500,000 back because he overpaid tax by $500,000.
Yep.
So if you overpay tax on your tax return, you get that money back. That's what happened.
Yeah. So there's a lot of concern in the media about how that works and why someone of such enormous wealth has access to a refund of that size.
Because he overpaid tax by $500,000.
Yeah. Why do you think he's talking about it?
Because I don't think he understands it, as a lot of people do, and he probably thinks, well, I don't need the money. But my answer to that is, okay, fine, then send the money back either as a cheque to the Australian Taxation Office or donate it to charity.
Donate it to Joy. I thought...
Donate it to Joy. I'd be quite happy with that.
I was surprised, Tim, you know, when I read that piece, and I'm assuming that he was quoted correctly, that he said he'd asked his tax accountant, what's this? I don't understand what this is about. You know, why am I getting this? I was amazed that someone... you know, who's involved and across so many issues, actually had no understanding of this. I thought it was extraordinary.
What I found consistently across the country is most people send their stuff off to the Australian Taxation Office to be processed and don't understand much about their tax. And, of course, if they get money back, they don't ask any questions and go, that's great. And if they find out that they haven't got a refund or they own money, they normally go to their accountant and they're the one who gets grilled about what's happened.
Yeah.
Tim, just another topic that I just wanted to touch on.
A favourite listener of ours who's been asking us to have you back on. So 317, you have your wish.
Yeah, long time listener, long time beggar. He does comment on your ties in Parliament, Tim, so let's start with a positive. He just wants to ask, Tim, what you think of the Colin Burris issue and if the government should make his actions a criminal offence in terms of his very lax attitude to the payment of his staff over the last several years.
I'm quite straightforward. I think that staff should be paid. They should be paid on time and they should be paid appropriately. The brutal truth is I haven't been following the detail enough to comment about it beyond those basic principles around whether something should be criminalised or not, because I just don't know enough of the detail. I think it would be unwise to say that somebody, if they think they've done the wrong thing, should be thrown into jail without knowing the detail.
The general consensus across, you know, the public and social media is that, you know, he should lose his role on MasterChef, and that the $200,000 fine is not enough given that he underpaid to the tune, I think it was like $8.5 million.
Civil penalties are a different matter. I mean, I think there should be a harsh penalties for people who do the wrong thing, and particularly consistently. You know, there are always lapses or errors where people make, but when it's serious and massively underpaid staff, then there should be serious civil penalties, and maybe that's what we should at least be reviewing.
Yeah, sorry, 317 has asked another question, Tim, and he said, how is your fitness regime going in Canberra? Do you run around in the morning or are you too busy?
I reckon he might be stalking you. I get up at 5:30 and I go for a run.
Not with the pumps, clearly.
I won't give the details a run for security reasons.
Good on you. Look, all right. Great to have you back, and you know, I encourage, you know, people to search out the fact on this. But I think a little bit more work, Tim, you know, from yourself and the government, you know, to make this a bit clearer. I'm not sure exactly how that needs to happen around what this is about, but you know, there's a lot of misconception out there, but mostly there's a lot of fear.
Yes, no, I understand, and that's why I just have me back on Joy, and I'm happy to explain all of it.
Great.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks. Take care.
Cheers. A few messages there, and 559. Look, thank you for that. I don't agree. I'm not going to read it out. We try not to read out things on air that are...
Derogatory. Abusive. No, it's not abusive.
Look, I don't agree. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, it's an interesting thing interviewing people that ring in, isn't it? Because you want to ask them the hard questions, and but you also want them to want to come back. It's a hard
and it's
thing
look,
to
you know,
balance, I think.
The thing is, you know, we asked him some questions, what this is about. He told us what his view, what it was about. We questioned that again. Asked for a commitment, should there be anything we need to fear? Look, I'll read it out. Typical Joy interview, grovelling to find favour with any politician wishing to be interviewed. I don't think it was grovelling. We asked him a couple of hard questions. He answered them. We asked him, did we have anything to fear? He said no. That's a pretty strong public commitment. You know, what do I say?
Maybe we're just not aggressive enough. We should be shouty more or something.
There's an old saying in radio, and Neil Mitchell and I have used this term many times. The first interview is actually sometimes really easy to get. It's getting another interview, and I'm more interested in the answers rather than just having an argument.
And you like an argument.
I love an argument. I'll cross the street for an argument.
That's very true. I just like to get to the bottom of the information. But look, I take that on board. That's fine.
Yeah, sorry. I always enjoy those views, but thank you for it. I hope you're a Joy member, because being a Joy member is what keeps us on air.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.